Good morning and welcome. It's our third hour of our get-together. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:07 and your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Some of your top stories: oil prices climbing as renewed fighting between the U.S. and Iran pushed Brent crude closer to $100 a barrel, even as President Trump suggested the U.S. bombing campaign may not last much longer. Oil prices have risen sharply as the renewed conflict between the U.S. and Iran raises concerns that further fighting could disrupt global energy supplies. So, yeah, we've got that to deal with, and you'll see that reflected on the it's probably already reflected on the pump.
Oh, I'm sure.
As we speak,
yeah.
I see the digital numbers. Doesn't really make that noise.
But you have to have
some kind of noise related to it. It's like a Tesla. You have to add noise.
Yes.
Right?
It's still kind of weird hearing all these musical cars, you know, depending on the sounds they make when they're backing up or whatever. So, yeah.
I remember riding a Honda, the Goldwing.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm used to, you know, a Harley or whatever.
Yes.
And it was just on loan or whatever from the dealer. But it was so quiet. You really did. You snuck up on people.
Yes,
and then you realize, you go, no, they don't know I'm here. And
It's
a big bike. And it's yellow like a school bus.
But they can't hear it?
No.
Well, I remember they were talking at one point with the electric cars, making them make more noise because of that. Exactly. Pedestrians walking by, they got earbuds in, they're not paying any attention. Just walk right out in front of you in a parking lot sort of thing. I don't think this little high-pitched kind of musical sound is really doing it, but I also don't think it's what they originally intended.
Maybe they just need the old garbage truck. Beep.
Now
beep,
you're talking.
Beep. Yeah. No, that would be
irritating.
Beyond irritating.
Yeah.
Hey, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally, football season is here.
Woo.
And you don't have to be football hardcore to appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we root for the home team. We root for the Gators.
Yeah.
Now, personally, I was a Gator fan before I moved to the area.
Right.
And I, pretty much since I moved to Florida, I think that year when I decided I was going to take them under my wing, I think they were like 0-12 or something ridiculous like that.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah.
But slowly they made the turnaround, and then when we moved to the Gainesville area almost 25 years ago, I told the kids, they were little, I go, we're all going to be Gators, right, kids? And I'm like, sure, Dad, whatever.
Sure, whatever.
You know, they know how to make Dad happy. They're in the affirmative, but you can see in their eyes, whatever. But all three of them did graduate UF, so I'm proud of them.
That's kind of neat.
And we've got some football expertise that's going to be coming in Friday to kind of kick the whole thing off tomorrow. So former player Bill Allen, he's going to be in the house.
Yep.
We'll ask him how he thinks the Gators are going to be this year, because this is going to be a change that I think we all are going to be welcoming, I hope.
Yeah.
And also Doug Johnson. Former Buholz, former Gator.
Yes.
And so he's going to be in NFL as well. So we're going to have some fun to really kick it off. And for a lot of us, it's the festivities, the pageantry. It's someone to root for. It doesn't have to be hardcore X's and O's following the intricacies of the game. Some will and some won't. But, you know, it gives you something to look forward to.
Well, and pageantry does sound better than tailgating.
Well, tailgating sounds good, too.
Yeah. Well, I know, but it's just a whole different feel.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
But there'll be a whole lot of it.
Hey, speaking of football, if I can,
and
I will.
Because it's your show.
Legendary University of Alabama former head coach Nick Saban. Apparently, he was quite concerned about Lane Kiffin. And anybody who's a little football, SEC, knows a little something maybe about him. And apparently his erratic off-field pursuit of college girls.
Erratic. That's an interesting
choice of words. And that's not me saying it. This comes from Saban, according to his new book. CBS Sports reporter John Talty revealed in his new book that Saban was not at all a fan of Kiffin's behavior. I'm sorry, it's John Talty's book.
Right.
But he said he wasn't a fan of Kiffin's stint as offensive coordinator and quarterback coach at the school between 2014 and 2016. He wrote that when Kiffin arrived at Alabama, he came without his wife and family, who stayed behind in California. Mm. The pair would eventually divorce during Kiffin's last year in Tuscaloosa. But while Kiffin was at Alabama, he quickly developed a reputation as a would-be ladies' man who was constantly seen in local bars trying to pick up the college girls.
Well, that's not very subtle.
And apparently Nick Saban was not at all amused.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
Yeah. And, you know, they go into some detail.
You come into a town, you're in that position, you're hanging out with that crowd, they all know who you are, you're not going to get by with anything. Come on. Really?
This was a time period where maybe the limelight wasn't shining quite as bright.
Yeah.
People didn't have their phones at the ready as much.
No, that's true.
Probably. I mean, you know, yeah. It was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't do anything now without being on video.
No.
And, yeah, Tuscaloosa, as much as Alabama, it's a huge college.
Uh-huh.
It's huge. It still can operate like kind of a small town once there's rumors going around and you're somebody of a higher profile on the coaching staff.
Like protecting kind of...
Well, all the above. I mean, it's, you know, you have people, you know, talking and the whispers go on and you've got, you know, denials and trying to keep things calm and trying to keep focused on the football program. I mean, you know, Saban is a guy that you'd say is probably pretty serious about his craft.
Yeah.
He might, for whatever reasons, I didn't like him because, you know, he just won too much.
Mm.
He got sick of them.
So it was the anybody but
like the Tom
syndrome.
Brady of coaching. It's like, shut up.
Yeah.
No. Big time respect for that guy. He was one of the best at what he did. I don't know. He had a great program, Michigan State. I mean, wherever he's gone, he's done well. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's a fan, though. I get that.
That happens.
But I guess this is information coming from Saban, according to CBS Sports reporter John Talty, who put it in his new book.
Well, if it's in a book, it's got to be real because... Look at the Tupac trial, huh? Why don't you put it in a book?
It can have blowback ramifications.
Years later.
You just never know, do you?
Yeah.
All right. 8:14 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And more importantly, coming up next, Marion County Commissioner Carl Zalek, are you in the green room, chomping at the bit? We'll talk to him next on 97.3 The Sky. Happy, happy Thursday. Almost the weekend. Football time coming up. Go Gators. We talked about that a little bit. It's 8:19 now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Carl Zalek in the house, Marion County Commissioner. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, my friend. I'm excited, bro. It's almost Friday. We're ready. Football season is warming up. You can feel it in the blood. I don't know. There's something activated, right?
We're talking football, but sometimes you're coming off a little bit like you're about to jump off the top rope in a wrestling match.
A little WWE, baby.
Dusty Rhodes in the house. Dated reference, but you still know who he is.
Yeah.
Ric Flair, the nature boy. All right.
I'll try to keep my shirt on in here, you know, instead of tearing it off.
And we appreciate that, Carl.
It's not as good as the other physiques out there, you know.
Well.
But the dad bod is a popular thing nowadays.
Yeah. Yes, it is. All right.
Or at least they tell me so.
Let me get focused. First of all, Marion County Utilities team and a job well done. Do tell.
Yeah, my friend. You know, this is one of the things that you don't really talk about a lot, right? Is the wastewater. Or, in other words, the crap in the system.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and so, you know, I wanted to give a shout out because... You know, at the end of the day, we have some incredible operators. We have Stonecrest Water Reclamation, Salt Springs Water Treatment Facility, all received not the gold, not the silver, but the platinum 8-year-in-a-row peak performance award. Now, this is a standard by which you have to be incredibly good all the time, every day, 365 days a year, 8 years in a row. You have to hold those highest of standards in order to get these awards. And I'm really proud of our team because, listen, at the end of the day, the taxpayers want the service, mm-hmm. and they don't want to ever think about it. And right. So every time you flush, you want it to be done right. And so these guys are doing every flush right.
The only time you think about it is when somebody goes, hey, be careful, there's a boil notice yep. going on. You're like,
oh,
what?
Yeah. Or what's going on.
Other yep. than that, out of sight, out of mind. You're right. So you're giving them some kudos.
When you do government service really well, it is kind of one of those things that you feel like is invisible, right? If you are doing it well, then you should be invisible. If you are talking about the system and the problems, then you're probably not doing it right. It's kind of like trash service. Trash service is great. You put your can out, you don't think about it, they put the can back, it just works. And hopefully, just like this, our wastewater team just works. These guys are awesome. I just want to give them a shout out because most of the time they don't ever get recognized. So thank you, Marion County Utilities.
We do spend some time talking about fire rescue,
yes,
but
sir.
They continually, meet the higher standards. The bar has been raised, and they've done a great job as well.
And one of the things that I wanted to mention about this is that we also work in partnerships, and we're renewing the ambulance transportation agreements with HCA Hospital, Ocala Regional. The agreement provides that critical care transport. So one of the partnerships that we had that goes above and beyond the normal paramedic transport is to have these certified intense nursing practitioners actually on the ambulance, critical care nurses. And HCA provides that for us, which that partnership allows us to have this enhanced service in our community so that when the really bad calls come in, we deploy, if you will, the SWAT team of ambulances.
Yeah, you're right. A nurse practitioner, not to take anything away from how fire rescue and those folks are trained, because it's the paramedic program
but it's just
is
another,
great.
Another level of training, right, Bob?
They've had vast experience usually in nursing, and then they've taken the next step to nurse practitioner, and they've been given more and more duties, and they are doing, in my opinion, all the ones I've dealt with, a fantastic job. All right, topic that's always a topic big and everywhere, and that has to do with roads. Yeah.
Yeah.
We need roads. We hate it when traffic is backed up, but nobody likes construction. So what do you do?
So we have several programs and projects moving forward. As I talked to you about last time I was on the radio, not only did we deploy $150 million in contracts already, but another $30 million in the last 30 days. Well, what that does is also cause construction, right? We've got a lot of construction going on across Marion County. So we have several projects moving through those stages. Northwest 49th Street is one of them, Southwest 80th Avenue, and eventually you're going to continue to see 80th Avenue. So just hang tight with us, right? I wanted to let people know that we are building what you're asking for, but the construction process, as you well know, sometimes takes a little pain. Sometimes there's some closures. Sometimes some of those things are going on. Right now, half of the 66th Street Bridge on I-75 is down. So you're going by the bridge. You only see one side up at the moment as they get ready to take the next half of the bridge down so that we can build the new bridge. So all of those things are happening in our community, and it's a lot of construction at one time.
Carl, let me ask you about eminent domain. That is something that is in place for government. If you have to build roads or schools or something like that, and you have to take private property, there's a process for that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you having any issues or problems with that, or are you able to work those out? And if you need property, are you able to purchase it?
So I think the best way to talk about this, Bob, is just to give you an example. So a few years ago, like when I first got on, I've been on the board for 16 years. I'm finishing up my service in November. When I first got on the board, you would pay a couple $100,000 an acre because you're going to pay a premium in eminent domain. We want to make sure, the constitutional requirements are met, and that means that you have to pay market rate for that property.
Mm-hmm.
And then we usually do and then a little sum, right? Because we're taking their property.
Because they didn't have a for sale sign.
Exactly. They didn't have a for sale sign. We also try to make sure that we keep them whole, not just in a market rate property, because, well, what if you can't get the same property?
Right.
What if you need moving expenses? What if you had some things that are intangibles, And so we try to go
a little above and beyond,
but not ridiculous, right? Especially if, we're going to court or have a settlement, all those kind of things. Most of the cases we have never go to court, right? We just offer a really fair value. We try to make people whole. We try to do a few things to say thank you because we are forcing you at that point, right?
Right.
But a couple $100,000 has not gone. In some cases, we had to buy 3 acres on 80th for retention and widening and all of that kind of stuff as we go from 40 to the World Equestrian Center, that, right, those 3 acres cost us just a little over $3 million.
Wow.
Right? So you can see the exponential rate that happened. And a lot of that is because now your comparable values in that area along 80th now go to the comparables with On Top of the World, which is a very expensive property at this point.
Yeah.
And then you go to comparable properties, that is the World Equestrian Center.
You can't control the market price.
So now you can't control the market price. So now you went from something that would have cost us probably less than $500,000 10 years ago, now costs $3 million. On top of that, you go from a road that used to cost us $1.5 million to add a lane and four lane of road, right, per mile, right, to now, you know, well over, you know, $4 or $5 million, you know what I mean, in some cases. So the last bid we did, 3.3 miles, it actually came in under budget. Can you believe this? Under budget, but it was still $22 million.
Oof.
For 3 miles.
Yeah, I remember when the cost was basically, when I was in school, you know, they said average interstate $1 million a mile.
Yep.
And as students, we thought that was a lot of money.
It was a lot of money, buddy.
And it is.
I mean,
not
oh my God.
Close to that now.
You know, now you got the new interchange going in. It's got to be in 100 million, 150 million plus.
Right. Well, but like you say, you're going to have growth. You're going to have growing pains. Roads alleviates a lot of that.
Yep.
And there's always the people that say, you know, we'll just not have any growth.
Yep. So we got some hearings up. We got some new stuff coming up. I want to talk to you when I come back, hopefully, about the Ag Enclave bill that's affecting Marion County next.
Well, ag's always important to everybody in the state of Florida. Marion County, no exception. Carl Zalek, Marion County Commissioner, always a pleasure. It always goes by way too fast, but we appreciate you coming to the studio and talking to everybody and letting us know what's going on.
Thank you, my friend. Happy Friday Eve. Until next time.
Yeah. Oh, what about your Go Bulls?
Oh, I think we're going to do okay. I think we got a chance to win a couple games this year.
I root for all the Florida teams.
Listen, at the end of the day, we had a great team last year. Let's hope we can put up. We can do some. We can do some good things.
All right.
Right?
We'll see how it goes.
Let's go.
We'll cheer with you. It'll ride your heart if you lose.
Or maybe not, as Greg laughs at me. You know.
8:28. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. More to come. Hang on. It's not a good morning. It's a great morning. Welcome to it. Pump it up. Happy Thursday, everybody. 8:34 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Some of your top stories. U.S.-Iran conflict escalation. Wow. Shocker there. Iran fired on Gulf neighbors. They're not very neighborly at all and haven't been. But economically, they are. They are being choked hardcore. We hope they feel the pain and it helps to make some changes in the regime. We'll have to see. The president appears to be pretty patient about the whole thing. He commented the other day that, you know, he goes, I'm not begging them to come back to the table.
Right. He knows they're lying anyway.
Yeah. We've crushed them militarily. We're crushing them economically. You know, eventually, that's kind of old school, almost like starve them out mentality.
Yeah.
You know, like warfare.
Yeah. Got to try something different.
Old school, but effective. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Still, the Nepal thing and the death toll and all that's well over 1,000 people now. That's awful. And then there's the trial that never ended.
Wow.
Lindsey Clancy murder trial deadlock. Yeah, this is that high profile. She murdered her 3 kids.
Basically, yes.
I don't know about basically.
She did it. She admits it. She did it.
What about this conspiracy stuff where somehow the husband is more involved, shall we say, than it appears? And the reason I say it like that, because it was a conspiracy thing. And one of the actresses that does, like, Rennie, I think is her name, with the big puffed up lips. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Anyway, she said something on her, like, accounts, Instagram or whatever, basically blaming the guy.
Well, where that comes from is so, and again, maybe, you know, looking at the knife has something to do with that, but, you know, she cut her wrist, she cut her throat, but to what extent, maybe, you know, obviously was not deadly, and then throws herself out the window. he is telling everybody, well, she said she did this to the kids, that the kids are downstairs. But yet, when you hear a recording that has her in the background, because of the cut to her throat, she can't really talk. So it's a little weird the way he said, she said, or she told me, or however he phrased it. And yet you know that she is somewhat, you know, having issues with that. So that caused a lot of folks to go, okay.
Maybe she was so out of it, he did it, and he said, look what you did.
Yeah.
Look what you did when you were in your psychotic stupor.
So that was a little side story to the story. Now, obviously, that they're not dealing with that in the court, so it was not enough to get their attention.
A couple of interesting things. So you're this master of death. You're a killing machine when it comes to strangling three children, which apparently is strangling someone to death is, even though it's, you know, kids, is still not an easy proposition, shall we say. So in other words, you're an efficient killing machine when it comes to killing three kids.
Right.
Because they say on average, what is it, 4 or 5 minutes to kill somebody by strangulation? And he was only gone, what, 15? So anyway, and I guess maybe that's still in debate. But my point being, she's so efficient at killing her own children, but yet not very efficient at all about taking her own life. You know?
Interesting.
No cuts that were severely, you know, deep enough. What'd she go out a window? And she's in a wheelchair now, but is that truly necessary?
More questions.
But the other side of it is, I say, man, if you really are having a truly psychotic episode, you really have reached out for help, you have been medicated, perhaps over-medicated, polypharma, on so many different things and different times, maybe there really is something to this psychosis thing.
Yeah.
So, if I was on the jury, it would be tough for me. And here's what I believe what the jury is. There's at least one person on each side that will not concede their position.
That's
one of the jurors is saying, she killed her kids. It's cut and dry for me. It's very simple. I don't care. There's no excuse that allows you anything other than to go to prison for life at a minimum.
Right.
And then you have somebody who says, hey, I don't care what you say. I or my best friend or somebody in my family has been through XYZ, been through this postpartum kind of psychosis. I identify with her and what she was going through, and you really don't have any idea what you're doing at that moment. And I'm using that as a for instance. And that's what I think you have. And it might be more than one person that's polarized that far, but you have at least one, I think. And how do you get, you think about it, to get a unanimous verdict when when there's options. And the options are very different. Going to a state mental health facility versus going to prison.
Right.
And the time period and what, you know, how long before she would be able to, you know, try to be paroled or out. What if she passed whatever they look for in tests, like in a year?
Right.
And then I think people would say, she went through something that bad. Can you say you're so, quote unquote, cured? And then the other side of that coin is, well, is this person really a harm or danger to anybody other than her kids? And they're not here anymore.
And you've got to figure out and understand in your own mind her state of mind at the time. That's a big decision.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to sign up for that jury duty. That's why whenever I'm called, first thing I do is say, hang them all, Judge.
That's worked for
him. Hang them all.
It's worked for him so far.
And they say, Mr. Rose, you're released from duty.
Thank you for your time today.
No, you want, look, you want to serve your community. That's one of the ways in which we all agree we're going to do it. And God forbid you're ever on trial. You'd want people that, you know, have good minds that are going to be in there and weigh the evidence fairly. This one is, I'm telling you, it's a tough one. I think everybody agrees. I don't think anybody would say, let her walk. I don't think anybody would agree with just, okay, you're free to go. No. I think the very least is long-time psychiatric care and oversight. Could they do a combination? Can you do a combination of saying, hey, I guess they wouldn't do that. I don't think. You're thinking,
right. And I see where your brain was going, but yeah, they probably wouldn't. But what you think she did in the mindset is going to totally change which direction. And so you're right. Is she going to be okay to let go at some point? I mean, I keep seeing people, you know, in the on the social medias, and one of the ones, okay, here's an example. A guy killed his five kids. He had schizophrenia, but he still went to prison. So it's kind of like, so where's the line of the mental position you're in at that moment versus the punishment?
Well, how about arson?
Okay.
The crime of arson.
Yeah.
You burn something down or start a fire in the forest. You do a lot of damage. Right. It's a serious crime. It's a felony at the very least, and then if people are harmed, it's higher.
Sure.
But so arson. Now, do you treat an arsonist, you say, well, you know, that was an insurance job. You're going to go to prison for 10 years.
Right.
Or do they get classified as a pyromaniac?
Oh.
Now you get some weird gratification from starting fires. That's that's a mental illness.
Have we seen one of those? I mean.
What do you mean?
Have they used that as an excuse? I'm just wondering if anybody's tried it before. I've never thought about that.
Well, no, I mean, you get tried, and if you are a what would they say, a repeat offender,
right,
in terms of starting fires,
I
would assume that they would have that title. But psychologically, could you examine someone and figure out whether they're a pyromaniac or not? Again, the delineation would be: do you get this deep urge and satisfaction from it, sexual gratification, etc., which is common apparently with pyromaniacs?
Right.
So, you know, what do you do? Like, oh, prison's off the table. We're just going to see how long we put you in a psycho ward.
When you apply it to a different crime,
or a different illness.
Yes.
A different illness. That's what I was trying to get at. Like,
yeah.
So what is the illness that you could say, okay, you need psychiatric help.
Right.
Prison's not going to help you.
Right.
You're going to come out and still be a pyromaniac.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
well, now we go back to treatment or punishment.
Child molestation. That's a sickness, but what do we do with most of them?
We put them in prison. Yes.
And does that cure them?
No, but usually somebody else helps.
True.
Yeah, there's that.
But
you're right.
I'm just showing you the differences.
No, you're right.
And where this is a problem is really trying to help people that are struggling with mental health issues that could be a danger to themselves or others, which is only a small sliver of the mental health issues that most people face, but the harm that can be done is, well, life-ending for suicidal-type stuff and homicidal-type stuff, life-ending for someone else. So, it's
a tough one.
Yeah. How do you treat people like that? Do we treat it? Hey, clearly this person has a mental illness. They're not going to be helped in prison.
Right. And I think in another state, they've already got another trial that's popped up where they're going down the same road. And we will see this more and more if this works for her in more trials.
I feel like that this jury is going to be dismissed and they'll do another one.
Wow.
That's what I don't think that's a stretch for me saying that. I think that's... And I don't know, how do you seat a jury that one way or another is going to be unanimous?
Right. And now... not know about it.
I mean, and wouldn't you feel awful if you caved in and said, yeah, she knew what she was doing, go with the punitive thing, only to find out later. Well, they did that in a case, 10, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They overturned the verdict later on and put her in a mental health institute.
Right.
Institution,
it's
I guess.
Tough.
8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. More controversial issues, headlines. Socialist of America. Are they Democrats or not? John Fetterman and others weigh in on News Talk 97.3, The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is the day before Friday. We call it Thursday, and I wish you a very happy one. 8:50 right now. Some of your top stories. We mentioned this earlier. We talked about the Lindsey Clancy murder trial is in a deadlock. We'll see what happens. I think there's going to be another trial. Tiger Woods got his plea deal. 5 years he'll have his driver's license suspended, and but he can operate a golf cart. I don't know what all the implications are. I'm not joking because he's a golfer.
Right.
He can operate a golf cart. I'm not sure though if that's like where anybody else can operate one, because think about it. If you're Tiger Woods, or anybody with, you know, substantial amount of money, I could build a pretty cool golf cart that could go pretty fast.
Yeah,
and he's already has a problem with speed. He can't drive.
He can roll things over.
I mean, is that his Asian blood? It doesn't help him drive well?
Wow. Address those comments and letters to Bob Rose. But here's the deal. He's going to have to do now what he should have done after the first rollover.
Get a driver.
Yes. Now he's got no choice.
Tony Romo. Okay. Get a driver. Get a driver.
Oh, I thought you were going to suggest him as the driver.
Oh.
I was going to say, no, that's not a good combo.
Yeah, he might be facing his own suspensions of time without a license.
Yeah.
No, the answer to it all is get a driver. But do it before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rolling over Range Rovers is not a sport. Don't do that.
And the thing is, in so many of these cases, they're just fortunate when they roll the dice that no one else is involved.
You are so right, especially when it happens more than once. What are the odds you don't hurt someone else or kill yourself? I mean, seriously.
And would Tiger Woods be eligible for what they call like a work permit, the need to go to work? And that comes with a lot of confines. Like, you better just be going to work and back. In some cases, I think they'll let you do a grocery store or whatever.
You think he needs to work?
Well, what would he call going to the golf course work?
But the need. The average guy on the street who makes $40,000 a year or something, he's got to go to work.
Well, I mean, can they differentiate? Can they say, oh, well, you don't have a job right now, but you've got, you know, $70,000 in the bank. You don't need to work either.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
sure. Yeah, yeah.
Is that really a factor?
But a multimillionaire?
Okay, Ken.
Again, he's got a big mortgage.
You be the guy that draws the line.
Yeah.
You tell me who's in and who's out.
Exactly.
See how that gets difficult?
Oh, I know.
It becomes a class warfare.
Yes.
Hey, blank him.
Uh-huh.
Through him. He's rich. Blah, blah, blah. Should have known better. Could have had a driver.
But he's got bills we don't have. To match that, probably.
Well, but that's
maybe
on you.
Well, no, I get that, but that's kind of what you're putting on the average guy.
Yeah.
He's got 70 grand in the bank. He's still got a $1,500 mortgage or something.
Right.
So I'm
saying that he probably, in the process, could get one.
I would be surprised, because I think a judge is going to go, oh, really? Really, Tiger? You don't need to go to work.
Well, you know, and I don't know what's all within the bounds of the agreement or how that works with laws in general in the state of Florida, per se, when it is specific to that.
Uh-huh.
And some of these penalties have gotten tougher and stiffer through the years.
Sure. But would you want to be the attorney arguing? Look at my client, Your Honor. He's got child support he needs to make.
Well, that's
he's
true.
He's got alimony he has to pay.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know the mortgage on a multi-million dollar mansion? He needs to go to work.
So you're saying the attorney shouldn't play the sympathy card?
I don't think it would go
that's
anywhere.
That's probably good legal advice there, Greg.
Yeah,
I would go with a different way.
Yes, something different.
But clearly, you know, he's got issues.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else is contained in the agreement, but don't you think that he should get help with what was he caught with 200 hydrocodone pills or
something like that? There should almost be some mandatory, I don't know if you want to use the word rehab, but counseling or something, because he makes bad decisions.
Well, I mean, in a lot of cases, you have to participate, say, in like an AA program.
Exactly.
And you have to, you know, write reports or whatever. You have to check in. You have to sign your name and stuff. I mean, you have to follow through.
Sure.
And I would imagine him being so high profile, there's probably somebody who goes, yeah, I'm going to keep an eye on him.
Oh, yeah.
He's a problem.
And he'll be noticed if suddenly somebody's leaving that piece of property driving and it looks a lot like Tiger. Yeah. Somebody will be watching that, too.
Yeah. But again, I hearken back to, man, if you're rich like him, what kind of golf cart could you build?
I can't drive it on the main roads, though.
Giant one with a hot tub in the back.
Sorry, folks.
I just look for a silver lining.
Yeah. You got to dream. Dream big.
But no, he's...
It's obviously a problem.
Yeah.
You know.
He needs help. And sometimes when you're super rich and popular like that, you're the last ones to get it. Ask Elvis how that worked out for him. Being wealthy, You'd think you'd be the first one that would get help.
Good medical care. I mean, he needed medical care more than anything.
Oh, yeah, doctors all around him.
And they weren't helping him.
No, in fact,
enlarged heart, intestinal issues.
Making problems worse.
Yes, yeah. They did.
And that's what happens with people of high stature and wealth. They
Everybody's a yes man because you don't want to get kicked out of the club.
What, so, especially once you're in.
So nobody says no.
Mm.
So and the judge gets her to go.
No, and then the goose that laid the golden egg is no longer around.
Then what do you do?
And you played a role in that.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm ready to just fly like the wind, Head out of town, 3-day weekend coming up, you know what I'm saying?
I thought you were like singing a Christopher Cross song.
I was.
For a second. Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Look at you, king of yacht rock, all of a sudden.
Yeah, and then it turns out he's a jerk.
Are you? Come on.
I thought he was nice and everybody liked him and felt sorry for him that he was fat and he first came out and all the girls were in love with him, his voice. And then they saw him, they were going like, hey, no chubby chaser.
He can play guitar, though.
I ain't going backstage with that. It looks like a ton of fun, but I'm going to pass.
So what did he do now? Or what did he do, I guess, instead of now?
Singer-songwriter, guitarist, and very well-known for us who appreciate the yacht rock genre.
Yes.
He's apologized to Canadians on Sunday night.
Oh, no.
Calling President Donald Trump an a-hole. Yeah.
Why do you have to do these things on stage, people? You can have your opinion, but you don't need to go there.
Let me tell you how you handle it. Okay. He comes out of the crowd. Hey, I want to tell you how much we love your country. We appreciate your country very much. That's awesome. But he couldn't help himself and had to go on and say, and I'm just very sorry and embarrassed that we have an a-hole for a president. All he had to say was, I want to tell you how much we love your country and we appreciate your country very much. And I'm sorry that there are some that don't agree with that.
That would have been fine.
Right?
But you have to go over the line. Come on.
Yep.
Aren't these artists learning by what the other ones are doing when they make stupid comments like that?
He says, but don't give up on us. We have an election coming up, and we're going to do our best to fix it. And then we'll be buying all your stuff again. And you'll be buying all our stuff again.
Classy.
We can be victims of corporate greed together.
Oh, wow.
Interesting line. 9 o'clock stretch coming up next. Hang on.